السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.
الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله حي على الصلاة حي على الصلاة حي على الفلاح حي على الفلاح الله أكبر الله أكبر لا
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله أما بعد فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى بعد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا وقال تعالى يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون وقال تعالى يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما صدق الله العظيم فإن أصدق الحديث كتاب الله وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وشر الأمور محدثاتها وكل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار أما بعد I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that just as He has gathered us here today on this day of Jumu'ah, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gather us along with our families in Jannatul Firdaws al-A'la in the companionship of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and his sahaba. Ameen ya Rabbil Alameen. Brothers and sisters, many of us have had this conversation many times, whether we are sitting with our families, whether we are sitting with our friends, at dawats, in invitations, in weddings, or even with our own colleagues. And the question that, or the discussion that we are having, is that where do we go from here as Muslims? First of all, this was a question that was asked many times, even after October 7th, after the genocide against our Muslim brothers and sisters in Gaza started, this question started. And even now, as we are going through this election season, many people are questioning that where do we go from here? And there are a few things today that I want to share with you in the khutbah. I don't want to bombard you with so much information, but at the same time, I'm just going to leave with you three things that we need to really pay attention to as a Muslim community in order for us to progress and in order to move forward. The very first thing is that no matter what the situation is, we all as a Muslim community, as a Muslim ummah, we need to come back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There's no question about that. A Muslim community that is spiritually engaged, that has spirituality in their life, that has Quran, Salat, and Dhikr in their life, that community will be eventually prosperous. Because this is something that we learn from the Quran and we learn from the Sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Today, so many of us, due to our lack of spirituality, we are going through this element of fear. The element of what's going to happen after the election. The element of what's going to happen to Muslims in this country down the road, 5 years later, 10 years later. Are we going to still be here with our family? What's going to be the state of the affairs of the Muslim community? There's a lot of uncertainties in the air. And in situations like this, we need to come back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we need to understand our purpose of life. We need to connect with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and put our trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because the promise of Allah is that those who put their trust in Allah, Allah says that He will not put upon them any kind of fear or grief. This is a concept, by the way, in the Quran that has been mentioned many times. لا خوف عليهم ولا هم يحزنون. I'm sure that you've heard this kind of ayah many times, and they are scattered throughout the entire Quran. And many times we don't even pay attention to what it means. It simply means that when it comes to the future, we always have fear for the future. There is no such thing called grief about the future. Either you have fear about the future and you have grief about the past. Allah is saying that those who are spiritually connected to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, there is no fear on them for the future, and there is no grief about the past. And subhanAllah, one an amazing example that I can share with you when it comes to even putting your tawakkul in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the story of the mother of Musa alayhi salam. The mother of Musa alayhi salam, she wants to protect her child. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that وَأَوْحَيْنَا إِلَىٰ أُمِّ مُوسَىٰ أَنْ أَرْضِعِي فَإِذَا خِفْتِ عَلَيْهِ فَأَلْقِيهِ فِي الْيَمِّ وَلَا تَخَافِي وَلَا تَحْزَنِي. Allah said to the mother Musa alayhi salam, put your baby in a basket and put it in the river. Now logically, someone can say that what is the point of putting the child in the river if the objective is to protect the child? Because this same river has animals, and it may have crocodiles and other animals in it that may devour the child. So then the objective is lost. Someone could say that this same river that you are putting the baby in, it goes by the palace of Fir'aun. Fir'aun can easily pick up this child and kill the child. So when you talk about the objective is protecting the child, then why would you put the child in the water? That's what logic says. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when He said and He inspired the mother of Musa alayhi salam and said, put the child in the water, she never said that this makes logically sense or it makes logically no sense. She said that this is what Allah wants from me, I will do exactly what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says. And Allah says, la takhafi, do not fear about the future, what's going to happen to this child, wa la tahzani, meaning that when you have put the child in the water and it is going away, do not have any kind of grief or sorrow over your decision. What was the reward of putting that trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Allah returned Musa alayhi salam back to his own biological mother. And not only that, but now under the protection of Fir'aun. Think about it for a moment. How ironic the situation is that Fir'aun is trying to kill all these children to protect his kingdom. And now Allah has created a situation that he is now taking care and protecting that same child who will be the cause of his destruction. And not only that, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala returned the child to the mother with a stipend. This is the reward of coming back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I remember that when the situation even started, the Gaza situation started, there were so many people who were going out in these demonstrations, people going out in protest. And even someone came and asked me that, do you think this is beneficial or not? And here's what I said to them, and I have, you know, this is my honest opinion about the situation. There is nothing wrong in going out in these protests. There's nothing wrong in going out in these demonstrations. But this is secondary. The very first thing is, we need to come back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is step number one. Then after that, you can do step number two. If people are going to go in demonstrations and all these kind of things, and try to raise their concerns and raise their voices in all these different city halls, which we saw very commonly, and we saw nothing change. But if a person says, I'm going to do that, but I'm not going to connect with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I'm not going to try to instill religiosity in my life, then we have really misunderstood that what is the situation and how do we come back to Allah and how do we fix the situation. So the very first thing is, in order to change our condition, we need to come back to Allah. The second thing that I certainly believe, and based on my observation and talking to many people, is that as a Muslim community, we need to really focus on our education. Let me tell you honestly, if you observe the Muslim community at large, or forget about the Muslim community right now for a moment, if you observe the general mass, if you look at even Frisco right now, as a city and as a whole, okay? There are studies that have been made that when it comes to education, there are surveys that in terms of religion, which religious communities are the most educated ones? And if you look at right now how things were and how the tides are changing and how the tides are turning right now, you will see that right now that you will find Jewish people often, they're the ones who are controlling everything right now. They're the ones who are sitting as the CEOs in these major companies. And right now, as it is, you find many even Hindu Americans stepping in and coming to those positions. Well, they did not just come into those positions just like that and overnight. They made education a focus for themselves. They made education a focus of their community. Brothers and sisters, if you actually study history after World War II, what did the Jewish community do? There was a very first thing that they did in order for their recovery process. Go back and read the books. It is written in the books of history, that the very first thing they focused on was their education. And now, even as it is, as we speak, even based on religion, when the studies have been done, that which religious communities are the most educated ones, believe it or not, these are just some studies I'm sharing with you. You may agree or you may disagree. And even the person who put this together, they may be subjective. It's a subjective situation and matter for many people. But based on the numbers, the number one educated community right now, in America right now, is the Hindu community. Why? Because they make education a focus for themselves. And this is why, by the way, if you are not connected to politics and you're not reading what's happening right now in politics overall, the Hindus are making their way in politics. They're bringing all of their policies from overseas and they're trying to institutionalize their policies here in this country. You see what kind of an impact and what kind of a presence they have in the community and in the society. You cannot deny it. The second community is the Jewish community. Now, you may ask me that. I'm sure that the Muslim community is probably number three. You'll be shocked, brothers and sisters, that the Muslim community comes in at number 15. The Muslim community comes at number 15. Education has no longer become a priority for us. How many professors I have met who are Muslims who have told me that I am a professor, I have Muslim students coming into my college class, my university class, and they don't take their studies seriously. All they want is they want an A, and simply on the grounds of why do they want an A? Because their professor is a Muslim. Come on, man, brother, hook me up, you know? Come on, give me an A. You're a Muslim, I'm a Muslim, just give me an A. You understand? That's what they're saying. So we have not taken our education seriously. Going back, into history when the Muslims were sitting at the top of the world. Why were they sitting at the top of the world? It was because of their education. Go back to the seerah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. When there were captives, when there were prisoners of war after the battle of Badr, what did the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam say? He says, if you want to be freed in order for their ransom, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has said that if you want to be free, then the cost of your freedom is that you teach my sahaba how to read and write. Because the Prophet ﷺ understood the importance of education. If you read the very first few verses that were revealed in the Quran, اقرأ بسم ربك الذي خلق خلق الإنسان من علق. The first five verses, this is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala emphasizing on education. When you go back into Islamic history, there is a book that you can find even on Amazon. It's called The House of Wisdom. Read it if you can. Or just read, what is this book about? This book actually talks about that there was a time where for every single topic, not only just religious topics, in Quran, in Tafsir, in Hadith, in Tazkiyah, in Aqidah, that there was, of course, there were many ulama and scholars. But even when it came to medicine, when it came to astronomy, when it came to law, when it came to so many different principles and studies of life, people who were not Muslims were traveling to Muslim lands. They were traveling to Muslim lands to acquire their education. The Muslims had that izzah at one time. It was not because of our money, but because we were the intellectual kings of the world. So if we want to change our condition, brothers and sisters, we need to learn how to take our education seriously. I understand that many of us, we grew up with this mindset, and you will laugh when I say this, that we were taught that just get an education so you can get married. Because we were always taught one thing, that degree nahi milega, to koi apni ladki nahi dega. We heard this so many times. I heard this so many times, okay? That if you don't get an education, you will not have a job. Job nahi hoga, to koi apni ladki nahi dega. We heard this so many times. So the Muslim mindset has become what? That I need to get an education so that I can live. So we have learned to live. This is the policy in our life. We have learned to live. We are studying so we can live a life, so we can pay our bills. We need to change that mindset. We need to live to learn. That is the mindset that we need to change. The third thing, we don't have too much time. The third thing that we need to really focus on is, and I'm going to lump two things together here. One is civic engagement, and that number two is social services. When we talk about civic engagement, I know we're living in a time where, of course, it is the election season. Next week on Tuesday night, we'll find out who is the next president of the United States. But at this point right now, you may have your own opinion about who to vote for and what is voting, is it halal, haram, and so forth. But the point is, brothers and sisters, whether you vote or not, first of all, my opinion is you should go and vote. But even if you don't want to vote for anyone, even if you submit a blank ballot, it is still considered as a Muslim number. Because at the end of the day, they see the numbers at the end of the day. And the numbers is what matters to them the most. So if they show that the Muslim numbers are so low, they really don't care about our community. But more than that, even when we talk about our own city, when we talk about our own engagement in the city, how much of an engagement do we have in the city? How often do we know what's going on in our own community? We don't. We are disconnected. And not only that, but from a social service perspective also, how much are we engaged? I'm going to leave you on this. You know, subhanAllah, there is no shortage of intellectuals in our community. There is no shortage of doctors in our community, mental health professionals in our community. But subhanAllah, how many times, yes, there are Muslim doctors today, for example. I'm just going to highlight just one segment right now of the community due to time. But even if you talk about the Muslim doctors in our community too, they all have their own practices. They have all their own clinics. But have we ever thought about, let's take the next step forward? Like, even as a doctor, why not become a specialist? Why can we not see that the best doctors in town are our own Muslim doctors? We can see that. And is that a possibility? Absolutely is a possibility. You go to New York right now, by the way. If you go to New York, there are communities which are Jewish dense communities right now. And you will see that they have hospitals. They will have hospitals, the Hospital of Beth Torah, Hospital of Beth Israel, Hospital of this, Hospital of that. and you see that they're providing service to everyone. Why can we as a Muslim community, why can we not have the same thing? There's a Methodist church, there's a Methodist hospital, there's a Presbyterian hospital, there's so many of these kind of hospitals. Why can we not have a Muslim run, organized, operated hospital? Okay, do we lack the funds? No. Do we lack the intellect? No, we don't. But this is why we need to start thinking big as a Muslim community. Civically engage yourself. Know what's going on in your community and so forth. Even, I tell you honestly, there are Muslims, enough Muslims, that probably you can go and swing the votes even in your own city elections. You can have so much of an impact. But civically and socially, we need to be more engaged. So three things. Number one is, spiritually, we need to come back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Number two is, we need to take education seriously in our Muslim community. And number three is, being more civically engaged and engaging in more social services. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant all of us tawfiq to act upon and apply what has been said and heard. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala change our affairs for what is better. Ameen rabbil alameen. Barakallahu lana wa lakum fi Qur'an azeem. Wa nafa'ana wa iyyakum bi dhikril hakeem. Astaghfirullah li wa lakum wa li sa'il muslimina fastaghfiru innahu wal ghafur rahim. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله أما بعد اللهم انصر الإسلام والمسلمين اللهم انصر الإسلام والمسلمين في كل مكان اللهم انصرنا على من خالفنا واحفظ بلادنا وأصلح أولادنا واشف مرضانا وعاف مبتلانا وارحم موتانا وخذ بأيدينا إلى كل خير وعاصمنا من كل شر واحفظنا من كل ضير اللهم قسم لنا من خشيتك ما تحول به بيننا وبين معصيتك ومن طاعتك ما تبلغنا به جنتك ومن يقين ما تهون علينا مصائب الدنيا ومتعنا بأسماعنا وأبصارنا وقواتنا ما أحيتنا واجعله الوارث منا واجعل ثأرنا على من ظلمنا وانصرنا على من عادانا ولا تجعل مصيبتنا في ديننا ولا تجعل الدنيا أكبر همنا ولا مبلغ علمنا ولا إلى النار مصيرنا ولا تسلط علينا من لا يرحمنا آمين رب العالمين إن الله يأمر بالعدل والإحسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون فاذكروني أذكركم واشكروا لي ولا تكفرون أقيم الصلاة.
الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله حي على الصلاة حي على الصلاة حي على الفلاح حي على الفلاح قد قامت الصلاة قد قامت الصلاة الله أكبر الله أكبر لا إله إلا الله.
صلوا وسلموا على النبي. خلاص straight lines fill in the gaps. الله أكبر. الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين. قل أعوذ برب الفلق من شر ما خلق ومن شر غاسق إذا وقب ومن شر النفاثات في العقد ومن شر حاسد إذا حسد. الله أكبر. سمع الله لمن حمده. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين. قل أعوذ برب الناس ملك الناس إله الناس من شر الوسواس الخناس الذي يوسوس في صدور الناس من الجنة والناس. الله أكبر. سمع الله لمن حمده. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. استغفر الله. استغفر الله. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. There is few requests for du'as. There is a request for du'a of Shifa for Brother Qamar Iqbal, Sister Khairul Nisa, Brother Mir Hadi Ali, Brother Mirza Azmatullah Beg, Sister Shahnaz Beg, Brother Faisal Khan, and Brother Norman Ahmed, and also Brother Imad's daughter, her name is Sabine. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant all of them shifa. أذهب البأس رب الناس واشفي أنت الشافي. لا شفاء إلا شفاءك شفاء لا يغادر سقما. Also, there is dua maghfira request for Brother Alim and Brother Rehan Aziz. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala have mercy upon their souls, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give them place in Jannah. One last important announcement, or two, is on Tuesday, inshallah, this your masjid, Frisco Masjid, is a polling station. Please make sure you come and you exercise your right to vote. And number three is that, inshallah, on Sunday, your community has a very important event, which is your fundraiser. So please make sure you come and you support your masjid, inshallah. I intend to be there. Also, inshallah, many other shuyukh are going to be there. But your masjid is trying to finish off the last portion. You have an amazing and very beautiful facility in the back, but it is not complete. Until this is not complete, the community needs to come out and donate and provide their support, inshallah. So please make sure you come on Sunday. The details you can ask, inshallah, the board members, and they'll provide you the details. Go ahead.
Assalamu alaikum. As Imam Nadeem Bashir, Sheikh Nadeem Bashir mentioned just now, that we have the fundraising on Sunday at 6 p.m. at Ford Center in Frisco. So we have only less than 100 tickets left, and we will not oversell the tickets. So outside we are selling the ticket. Please buy your spot and come to the event. There will be three surprise announcements as well. And if you, due to some reason, cannot come, we would really appreciate you can mention your pre-pledge amount outside at the table or in the office, because ICF really needs your donations to complete some of the important projects like second floor and outside parking lot. Second announcement, as Sheikh Nadeem Bashir mentioned, that ICF is going to be polling station on November 5th. So do vote. And you can come to ICF, and then there are early polling stations in Frisco where you can go and vote as well. But do exercise your right to vote, as Imam Nadeem Bashir mentioned in his khutbah, how important it is. Last announcement, which is very important, that daylight saving is happening again and on this Sunday. So the Jummah time from next week, next Jummah, will be first Jummah at 12:45, second will be 1:35, and third will be 2:25, and this will be khutbah starting time. This will also be advertised through all our channels. But again, please note that Jummah timing will change to 12:45, 1:35, and 2:25 for first, second, and third Jummah. Jazakallahu khairan. Assalamu alaikum.